Hello, builders. We would love to welcome you to this episode of the Build Your Success Podcast. Here at the Build Your Success Podcast, we like to build you so you can build others. We do that through our coaching, training, and speaking events, but we also do that with the guests that we bring to this show. It's exciting today. I have Andrea Hoffman. Andrea is the founder and CEO of Culture Shift Labs and Culture Shifting Weekends. She's also the co-author of two books, Black is the New Green, and the NAACP-nominated $50 billion Boss, which explores the experiences of Black women entrepreneurs, and her area of expertise is diversity and innovation. Welcome to the podcast today, Andrea.
Thank you for having me, Brian. It's exciting to be here, and hopefully I'll share some nuggets with your listeners that will be valuable.
That is what we love to do, is produce those gold nuggets. Everybody that's listening has different thoughts, different ideas, and different ways. So we are going to ask you our signature question here at the Build Your Success Podcast. What does leadership and being a leader mean to Andrea Hoffman?
What it means to me is really assessing what's going on in our society and locking arms with fellow problem solvers that can narrow inequality gaps from the top down. That's our sort of, that's our focus, right? Leadership means different things to different people. But I think as a leader, you have the responsibility that, you know, the saying, when you see something, say something. Well, in our world is if you see a problem, fix it. Or if you see a problem, do something about it. And I'm not one of those to sit on the sidelines. When I get alerted to an issue where I think it can be either completely solved or it can be narrowed, right? The problem, the disparities, the inequities, injustices can be narrowed. So for me, leadership means finding ways to solve problems.
Love the fact, you know, solving problems and doing that with a diverse group of people that create a diverse thought and diverse ideas and diverse experience, all of those things that help us to include others. Love that about your answer. So, you know, in your application, you wrote about leading is also when you're driving people towards a common goal. So how important it is for people to get on board and drive towards a common goal?
Well, oftentimes people feel alone in their desire and their abilities to do something, and they recognize that you need a tribe. Right. And the tribe could be small, you know, small and mighty, which happens all the time, and you could still solve problems. But locking arms with other, you know, believers, fellow problem solvers, people that don't take no for an answer. When you find your tribe, it can really be transformative. And so I've done that. I set out when people said, no, you can't do that, or no, that can't be solved, or it's bigger than, you know, what we can even tackle. And I've, even since I was a little girl, no is not a word in my, it's not even in my vocabulary. No means try harder. No means yes, you can. No means show them that it can be done. So, you know, we're living in times where there are a lot of people that feel, you know, disparate, alone. But when you bring them together, you have a really powerful army of problem solvers. And that's what we do around here.
That is amazing. I hear you speak about that, joining arms, working together. And it makes me think about, you know, I've heard this saying, you know, your network is your net worth. You mentioned to me earlier before we started the podcast about your knowledge network and how, you know, you may have a network, but what you do with it and how you imply that. So tell us a little bit about the knowledge network and how people can use that to their advantage.
So, you know, I guess I was doing this before I had a name for it, you know, and oftentimes I have a saying that your spirit knows things before your brain does. And if you go with your spirit and what your spirit is telling you, you'll end up in a good place. Anyway, you know, I was building communities and networks and just met a lot of people, and I just, you know, talking to people and meeting people is my classroom, let's say. But, you know, once you graduate, you still want to learn, right? So I meet people, I'm fascinated by their stories, their journeys, their trajectories, their pivots, there's how they sustain themselves, how they overcame adversity, etc. And so, you know, I came up with a name for it called Knowledge and Network, which is obviously trademark, service mark, trademarked. And those two things together drive results 70% faster. Again, didn't know we were doing it until other people in the network were like, this network thing is, it's a thing. So we made it into a business model. And that business model inevitably is disrupting the management consulting industry, right? Management consulting has traditionally been sort of the knowledge piece, the advising, right? Our three core pillars at the business is at Culture Shift Labs is advising, strategy, and activation. All those things working together create the culture shift. Without the activation piece of it, which some might call implementation of intentions or a strategy, is really where the magic is, right? So, and I'll give you an example. So the knowledge network together is what really drives impact and outcomes for our consulting clients. So let's say you have a commitment to board diversity and you're looking for, you know, Black women to put on boards. Maybe the perception is that there aren't any women that are seasoned executives to serve on a board in cyber or in AI or in HR, whatever the case may be. If you have the network, that defies conventional wisdom, because when people don't have a network that's diverse, they assume that they don't exist, which makes sense, but that's the wrong assumption.
I hear you talking about that. I'm reminded of that old saying, think outside the box. What I hear you saying is look outside the box. Right. You know, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. You know, we're staring at the bark. So very, very important that we tackle that. You know, I'll tell you, I just launched my business last year. It'd been about 12 months, but I consulted a mentor friend of mine. I said, hey, give me some thoughts and ideas about going in the consulting business. And he's like, Brian, do you want to make a change or do you want to make money? And I was like, well, you know, I'd like to experience both. It'd be nice. He said, well, if you're wanting to make a change, you're going to be disappointed. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, too often they hire us, they pay us gobs of money and they do nothing. He said, you can go back the next year and do this same exact class. And I was like, that's disheartening. But in fact, as you alluded to, it's the case. I mean, people pay for consulting and then they just stay with status quo. So how do you encourage companies and businesses and individuals, in fact, because that's what businesses are made of. How do you encourage them to make these transformations and these cultural changes?
Yeah. You know, there's another saying, how to eat an elephant. That's the world I live in. So you eat an elephant one bite at a time. But what does that mean, really? We do get hired for full transformations, which we call sustainability. If you want to sustain as an organization, be relevant, you know, productize, monetize, et cetera, and obviously scale your business, sustainability is important. Finding new markets and new business opportunities, which really is my background, by the way, helping companies find new markets and new business opportunities. I then applied it to my own company. But people that want full sustainability transformations, which does include DEI and racial equality and ESG and all of those great acronyms, change takes time. I mean, think about it from a personal perspective. I want to lose weight. I want to change my life. I want a new career. Everything takes work. Imagine that at scale where you have thousands of employees and you're trying to just turn the ship an inch, let alone a mile, which is what's needed, right, for this full transformation. So your friend was right. It is a masochistic work. It's painful work. But what we've done here is we also get hired to chip away at a particular initiative. And that usually works brilliantly. So we don't walk away feeling like, you know, we got paid, but we didn't really make a difference. We actually are very thoughtful about the services that we provide, the clients that we work with. And so if they want to get an initiative off the ground, right, let's say it's a family office and they want to invest in, you know, founders of color or venture fund managers, or they want to donate to a particular charity or nonprofit that's moving the needle in STEM diversity or, you know, equality in education and, you know, food deserts and things like that. We get to see the magic happen in real time because we help them launch, you know, and implement and see outcomes and track outcomes from those initiatives. So it's a little bit different because we knew that that is, you know, very painful. We're not in the business just to take as much money as possible and not see any, you know, make a difference. We actually do make a difference. And that's why we get hired.
That is great, Andrea. And I hear you talking about this knowledge network and being prepared to make those connections happen, going into it with a why, you know, a reason why we're doing this. You talked about eating the elephant one piece at a time. I've heard that throughout my career, and it's amazing, but that's the way it goes. I teach some lessons around these little bricks I have. In fact, there's one behind me on the shelf there. And one brick is a paperweight, but a lot of bricks together create a wall, and walls create buildings and sustain. And we do things, you know, we save money $1 at a time. A mile is made up of the first step, right? You just got to
understand. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single stem.
Exactly. And when we think about that, what we're doing on a small level, and especially we can bring other people around us and multiply those small efforts, it can be vast and make huge impact. And we gotta know that as a vision. We gotta know that, you know, if I'll get people to surround me and bring people into and include people, then things can start to happen.
Well, absolutely. And you have to know where those people are to include, right? So you might have a company that doesn't have enough diverse employees, and you might be in the Midwest, and you might be in manufacturing. So then it becomes like a niche within a niche within a niche. And you just assume there aren't any, you know, people that we can tap into. And we defy that every single time. I mean, it's really quite mind blowing to our clients when we say to them, imagine tapping into 12,000. I'm giving you this as an example. Imagine walking into a room with 12,000 Black subject matter experts. What? Yeah. Imagine walking into the room with, you know, 2,000 Black women that qualify to serve on your boards that you've never met, right? Imagine all of these solutions.
Yeah, and I love being solution-based. I tell everybody, you know, anybody can see a problem. Very easy to say there's a problem.
Yeah.
But it takes a very special and driven person to see a solution and to see potential for a solution.
I would actually argue that people do see solutions. Some people. It's those that run with it, implement it, and say, I can't unsee what I just saw. I can't unhear what I just heard. Like, you know, we're very big on narrowing inequality gaps in venture capital, right? X percent of, you know, investment dollars go to founders and fund managers of color. We know the stats. I don't have to bore your listeners with that. And we know the disparities, but who's actually going to put a room together that defies how many of those people exist? And then putting the investors together in that same room and saying, we're defying conventional wisdom that you can't find any. They're here. Now what?
That reminds, we have a local African-American franchise owner here in Central Florida. He came from Kentucky, and Colonel Sanders actually took this gentleman under his arms way back when and helped him. And now this guy owns hundreds of franchises and just very successful. And he talks about, you know, taking obstacles and turning them into opportunities. And so that just reminds me of that story. When we do seek out and think of how can I help this person? How can I grow and be part of the solution? It's empowering.
Yeah, it is empowering, but not everybody is prepared for what it takes. I mean, it's, what did one person say? I don't have the stomach for entrepreneurship. I don't have the stomach to like be the implementer. Just tell me what to do. And I'll just, you know, I'm more of an order taker than a visionary, an implementer, a change agent. And that's fine. We need everybody to have a seat at the table, because everybody plays a critical role in achieving the outcome.
You know, that reminds me of the book that talks about get the right people on the right seat on the right bus. Same thing for an initiative. You know, companies have that problem, but so do initiatives. You know, finding those people that are willing to just take those administrative roles and make things happen at the administrative level. And then the other people that want to champion stuff and be on the mountain and climb the tops of mountains. It's totally different, and everybody's necessary.
Everybody is necessary. Everybody, the recipients, the change agents, the people that push back, the policymakers, you really do need all of it. But, you know, I think that finding sort of the right team, right? Because you need even in baseball, you need a first baseman and a catcher and a pitcher and a second baseman. Without one of those people, it's not a team. It's not effective. It's not how the game is played, right? So who do you need getting the right people at the table? Because some people could come and disrupt it and be the negative Nellies or the people like, that's not going to work, or that's too much work. But anything worthwhile is a lot of work. So yes, you need everybody, all the right people at around the table to solve the problems, or at least narrow them. In our lifetime, right? I'm not in the business of trying to solve problems that are unsolvable. I'm in the business of moving the needle towards impact and outcomes.
Well, you mentioned about turning a ship. I think you said 1 foot. Sometimes we use the analogy 1 degree. But the impact that can have, the moving the needle can just drastically change over time to set a new course. And so it's important.
Think about it, Brian. Think about what is water boils at 212 degrees. At 211 degrees, 1 degree. There you go. So 1 degree can be a game changer. Think about that. 1 second in a race, you're 1 second ahead of somebody. So I think if you understand that you can go from nothing, water's not boiling, one more degree. So my message is take that one step that you are hesitant to, make that one effort that you were procrastinating on, find that one other person that's going to round out your ability to move the needle, right? Don't give up.
Oh, so much hope in that message. And for those that are not watching this and listening to this, I held up my 212, 1 degree message, the extra degree. If you haven't read that book, it's an amazing book. At the end, the author suggests giving him a call. So I did that. I called him and he answers the phone. Somebody actually picked up the phone and they got me to him. And he said, I put that in the book. He said, there's about 10 people that have done that. I was dumbfounded. And I was like, hey, if you're going to give me your phone number, I'm going to try it out.
Yeah.
But and then he encouraged me, because I was in the construction industry, blue collar workers. I wanted to buy copies of his book. He said, Brian, I don't mind selling you copies of the book. He said, but your team is not going to read the book. Buy them these cards, these individual cards. And that's to his point about 1 degree, small effort, small things can make drastic changes. And knowing your audience it was the target for him.
Right. When people, I often think about civil rights leaders and how much they went through, right, to try and create change in the world. And hopefully they see some of that happening. But in many cases, it's the same, SSDD? I don't know if you know what that stands for. Same shit, different day. And so, I think about all that they went through. And when you look at that and the people that were trying to pioneer and create more equality in the world back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and certainly the 60s, you have to take their legacy, stand on their shoulders and get the work done, because they laid the groundwork and they didn't give up when they had hoses in their face, right? When they were getting spit on. And so this equality work, this DEI work, diversity, equity, and inclusion, or diversity, equality, and inclusion, belonging, all of these terms. The reason that we describe ourselves as diversity and innovation is because there is innovation in diversity if you implement it the right way, right? And so I'll give you an example. It was Frito-Lay many, many years ago that was doing poorly in a market. And it was a market that was fairly diverse. And they had a lot of Hispanic and Latino population. And so they tapped into their Hispanic business resource group and they came up with a guacamole flavored chip that put that company back on the map in that market, hundreds of millions of dollars, right? And so they duplicated that effort for their other business resource groups, their South Asian, their women. And you tap into those groups as a source of innovation. That's why they're called business resource groups.
Understanding the needs of others and that the others' needs are not my needs. It's just so important. Well, Andrea, we have blew through our interview here and a lot of conversation, a lot of discussion. Some of those nuggets you dropped I am thankful to have introduced you to our audience. Do me a favor, let our audience know where they can find your book and then what they can find at your website, and we'll include the website in the show notes.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and thank you to all those that are listening. Hopefully, I shared some nuggets that are valuable to you. You can reach us and read more about Culture Shift Labs at cultureshiftlabs.com. Culture Shifting Weekends, now called Summits, but the website is still cultureshiftingweekends.com. It's a deal-making summit to narrow inequality gaps on board, C-suite, venture, and entrepreneurship. We've gotten $1 billion into the hands of the community over the last 9 years, so check it out. If you're an investor, we'd love to have you. And then books you can also find on the website under my bio at Culture Shift Labs or on Amazon. The first book I wrote is called Black is the New Green. It's about marketing to affluent African Americans, written that about 14 years ago with Len Burnett. And then my second book is $50 Billion Boss, about Black women entrepreneurs. And when you're on the website, you can read about the Diversity Innovation Connection report that gives context to the example, the Frito-Lay example I gave you, and many more examples. And I have a book coming out. I can't talk about it right now, but your readers will hopefully, or your listeners will know about it soon enough.
Sounds great. I'm sure they will get that update at your website. And again, we'll include that in your show notes. For the listeners, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast today. Do me a favor, go to wherever you're listening to this, give us an honest rating and review, and share this podcast with others. Now remember to build yourself and then build others.